Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Donald Trump Jr. joins us as he has a new show on Rumble, RUMBLE.com. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And then Jim Jordan joins us, who is going to be the chair of the Judiciary Committee. A very deep, in-depth, important conversation that we have. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have a special guest to kick us off today, Donald Trump Jr., who has a new show on Rumble. Rumble, the Rumble app, all of you should have downloaded on your phone, RUMBLE.com. Don, welcome back to the program and congrats on your new show.
Thanks a lot, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing great. The fight for freedom and liberty continues. Tell us about your new show.
Well, listen, to your point about the fight for liberty and freedom, we have to be doing it. As you know, and as we've spoken about, we got to help promote these platforms, whether it's Real America's Voice, whether it's just those willing to take on that establishment. That ain't YouTube. I was early on Rumble doing the short form stuff that I do, just fighting the good fight. And as they're expanding the platform, creating the interactive components, all these things, they said, hey, would you do something a little bit more extensive? And I said, you know what? I will do that. I got to sort of put my time where my mouth is and encourage these other platforms that are taking on sort of the tyranny of big tech and all the other things that are out there. So I'm really excited to be on there. I'm really excited to do sort of the long form component of these things. I love sort of the interactive capabilities there where people can sort of interact live with me there as part of that show. So I think we're going to have a good time and just keep fighting the good fight.
I think it's a great fit. Rumble is doing very well. Their users are up dramatically. And credit to Chris and the entire Rumble team for having the grit and having the hustle. It's not easy to build a tech company, let alone one, to go up against a multi-trillion dollar monolith. And Rumble has successfully gone public. They have successfully de-SPAC'd. This is kind of wonky stuff. But the point is that they are now a functioning, real company that is really on a trajectory to be able to create that kind of parallel competitor. So, Don, I want to ask you about the breaking news today. They raid Mar-a-Lago after President Trump was cooperating with federal agencies, showed the federal agents where the documents were, and he declassified them. He had the right to do all of those things, and they were protected by Secret Service. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, as vice president of the United States, no declassification authority, was storing documents in his garage in Delaware without Secret Service protection next to his Corvette. Your reaction?
Well, Charlie, you know, the garage was locked, so it makes it all okay, right? I thought it was bad when they said, wait a minute, it's in his, think tank, which in and of itself is a little bit interesting given Joe Biden's incapable of actually thinking, but it's in his think tank, which is funded to the tune of $54 million by the Chinese Communist Party, right? So that was bad enough. And that means, someone had access, right? Apparently, Hunter Biden had four keys. I'm sure his business partners had nothing to do with this, right? But then you have the videos of him criticizing Trump about how irresponsible it is. Then it goes to, well, what about the stuff in your garage? He goes, well, the Corvette was locked. I mean, it's totally fine. I mean, it's a caricature of itself. This is a clown show. They used the FBI's hostage rescue team to raid Mar-a-Lago. I mean, those guys deal with terrorists. They don't serve search warrants, for stuff that was under lock and key and guarded by the United States Secret Service. But like, did Hunter Biden have access to Joe's home? I'm sure he did, because we know, and we frankly know that Joe was doing the same thing, but we certainly know that Hunter Biden had dealings with plenty of people that the U.S. government, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Russia, whether it's China, could all of these people have seen these documents? And the answer is, of course. And yet, I actually agree with you. I said that I recorded a short form video earlier where I said what you said in your intro, which is like, I have a feeling DC's gotten what they've needed out of Joe Biden. Like,
yep.
Either nothing will happen or they'll use this as their excuse to get rid of him, which, of course, they would love to do. But I don't know that anyone else is that much better. Maybe they need a fall guy for 24 that they can throw in a bus so they don't take out one of their glorious bench warmers like Pete Buttigieg, who's doing a phenomenal job as transportation secretary.
Yes,
he's incredibly well credentialed, which means it doesn't matter, Charlie, if he's totally incompetent. He can oversee a supply chain crisis. He can call our highway systems racist, obviously, because they weren't designed with enough space for illegal migrants to live under them. That's now racist, and we must just obey that level of stupidity. The FAA can shut down while we give $130 billion to Ukraine. I'm sure that could not have been used to update our antiquated systems. And while our airplane fleets are grounded, though, Charlie, I want you and your viewers to rest assured that all is well because they are making sure that equity and inclusion are being implemented at the FAA. Because when you're at 36,000 feet, you don't really care if the person in charge, whether it's flying the plane or ground control or air traffic control, are competent. You care that they're diverse. That's what we should be believing these days. So I'm of a slightly different mindset. I don't care if the person's red, blue, or green. I want like someone who's competent. Unfortunately, our transportation secretary is not. But he did check off a bunch of boxes in the woke categories, which allows you to be a high-level member of Joe Biden and probably any Democrat member of government's cabinet. So competence be damned, Charlie Kirk. It's 2023. That's no longer a criteria.
And Pete Buttigieg doesn't even believe this in the micro. He might say it in the macro. If Pete Buttigieg was boarding a private plane and you said, excuse me, before we take off, just so you know, Pete Buttigieg, the pilots up front, they're black. They got no idea what they're doing, but they're black. Have a nice flight. Do you think Pete Buttigieg would say, you know, let's get up in the air? He'd say, whoa, hold on a second. No, I mean, in high pressure situations, even the most woke person is going to privately demand competency. The problem is they're mandating these sort of things on us when they get to live in a life of competency and merit and functioning high society when the rest of us have to have 10,000 flight delays.
Well, no, he's fine. Day. He's fine putting your family on a plane.
Yes.
Flown by someone who, you know, didn't really pass the test.
But he's there because of his skin color. Like, yeah.
Didn't really get through it. But like, hey, you know, equity and stuff, you know, and that's the whole problem. It's not, you know, equality of opportunity where then you get to, and you saw that, my alma mater, which is racking up some pretty serious wins in the last year, whether it be being the home of Leah Thomas, the home or, you know, funding of, you know, the CCP think tank of Joe Biden that just was storing these classified documents, or the fact that they wanted to get rid of, I guess, the MCAT for, you know, getting into Penn Medical. I read an article about that last week because, you know, who really wants their doctors to have gone through like enough to decide whether maybe they should be doctors or not? I mean, let's forget the hard parts of medical school and like, let's just get to the nice parts of equity and talk about how wonderful that is. I mean, I'm sure the outcomes there will be wonderful. And we're joking about it, Charlie, but the reality is this is serious stuff. Like our enemies are looking at us and they are laughing because like they couldn't have imagined a better scenario for them, whether that's the Chinese, you know, whether that's the Russians, whether it's literally, you know, any third world country that hates us at this point. They're saying this is wonderful. America's, you know, it's crazy.
Yes.
We're imploding from within. And, you know, all the brilliant minds in D.C. and stuff, they're going along with it because presumably they'll still be able to make enough money to take care of themselves and their families. Who cares what happens to yours? And that's sick.
So, Don, I want to explore the kind of topic you mentioned briefly, which I think there is more to this story. Because the double standard, of course, we can, you know, explain ad nauseum, which, of course, they raid Mar-a-Lago. They don't go here. But I think there is a game that is unfolding here, which is let's get rid of Joe Biden. Let's get rid of the Biden family. And I want to get your hypothesis as to why, and also does it involve the House Republicans having the discipline to go after the agencies, not just the low-hanging fruit of Joe Biden, which of course we care about, but let's be honest, the FBI 20 years from now is going to be around. Joe Biden probably won't be. I'm not trying to be morbid or cruel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Listen, I'm not impeachment for the sake of impeachment. The Democrats tried doing that. It was stupid. Like, just stop them from doing the nonsense. Honestly, like, I'm pretty happy so far with what they've done, whether it's going after the 87,000 IRS agents,
yes, or Swalwell,
whether it's, starting, the church committees, for people who didn't fully understand that, literally looking at the government abuse of power and where that stems from. I mean, frankly, that's much more important. And that's the difference that a lot of people don't understand. And I think we saw a lot of that in sort of the speaker fight the other day. There's sort of what's really happening and what's going on behind the scenes, and then what people can fundraise off of and make viral for social media. And those two things and the results don't often line up. And so I don't want showmanship. I actually want action, and I want them to go after these agencies, because if they don't, they're going to get so powerful, as you saw last term, where they can derail or try to derail a presidency and prevent a lot of stuff from going into place.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. 2022 is history. But if you thought about what you'll do in 2023, how you'll make it better than last year, that's why I have a challenge for you. Become better educated. Look, every new year has a new opportunity. So I have a great way for you to make the most of this one. Join me in helping take the online courses with Hillsdale College. Their amazing online courses are for free for all who wish to learn. They have significantly enriched my life. Look, take one of these fantastic courses, like The Beauty of the Bible and the Genesis Story. Study the writings of C.S. Lewis, or maybe even go into The Meaning of America in Constitution 101. There are many courses to choose from. They're self-paced, they're free, they're fulfilling, they're deep, they're beautiful. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com and pick one of the more than 30 free Hillsdale online courses. I hope you'll accept my challenge. Pick whichever course you like. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Resolve to go deeper and get more educated this year, charlieforhillsdale.com. So, Don, the House Republicans only have limited time, energy, and resources. My advice to them would be to de-emphasize the investigations into Biden, still do some of the Chinese Communist Party stuff and Burisma stuff. But it is the agencies, it's the fourth branch of government, which you know very well, they have the power. They are the shadow government. And so I don't want to see, in my personal opinion, Republicans spend all their time just going after Joe Biden when he might not even be president in 2 years and the intel agencies get off the hook. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I think the reality is, though, we got to prioritize that without question. And as it relates to future elections, actually, what we have to prioritize is actually figuring out how to play the game the way the Democrats have. Right now, as much as I don't want to say this as someone who believes in these concepts, the candidate, the issues, none of that matters if we're not essentially doing the same ballot harvest operation that the Democrats are doing. And they figured out they weaponized COVID to make that happen. And if we don't also focus on that, to the fullest extent, national elections, in my opinion, are going to be virtually impossible to win.
Yeah. And I mean, their repeated involvement in domestic politics. And so, Don, for years you were saying that, hey, they're shadow banning us. They're coming after us on Twitter. And you and I were both called conspiracy theorists. Now we have the receipts. Yep. I want this to be a top priority of House Republicans. I want to see Jack Dorsey subpoenaed. I want to see the FBI. Your thoughts, Don?
Well, how about, we knew what was going on at Twitter, and they went after us. How dare you? I was like, well, I was getting 7,000 retweets a tweet yesterday. Now I'm getting 4.
Yep.
It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. And I know we spoke about it extensively at the time. We didn't have access or way to prove it, but it was just so obvious, right? Of course they were doing it. But you don't think that's going on at Facebook or Instagram or any, Google, or it's happening everywhere. And yes, by the way, more importantly, and I think what people aren't discussing is, now that sort of the cover's been pulled off and we've seen it, do you think what's went on at Twitter is any different than what's happening at every newsroom in America? This is election interference. I remember when this was treasonous, and yet it's like it never happened. None of these people are talking about it because guess what? They were all doing the same thing in the mainstream media, and they're not talking about it right now. So we need to get all of these guys, and not just the guys where we've discovered it, but look into the details and levels of all of this. I think these are all major public companies. If they're doing these and playing these games, they have a responsibility to their shareholders, where they're either not maximizing shareholder potential by banning and crushing large content creators like they've done with us and a lot of our friends. And otherwise, and I think you know, we have to put a full court press on these guys, or it's just going to keep going, right?
We have to make their life uncomfortable.
Frankly, a little blip in the ocean relative to, you know, Meta and a lot of these other platforms. Yep. And I think, you know, Google being by far the worst offender of all of it. And of course it's going on there. You know, but they're dictating, you know, what happened. It doesn't have to be true, but if you can't find anything else, they're able to really push their thumb on the scales of truth. And that's nonsense. And it has to be looked into extensively, and it has to be stopped, because there's nothing there's nothing freedom of speech about this stuff. No. This is just gross propaganda at this point.
Check out rumble.com, everybody. Don's going to be doing a show. Don, what's the regularity you're doing the show with?
Yeah, I'm going to do a couple times a week, starting the week of the 23rd. Going to go live with a lot of that, and, you know, little combination. What's been great about the platform is, you know, hey, like, let's figure out what works. I want to have sort of interaction with the audience, see what they like, whether it's the long form interview, whether it's the shorter stuff, where it's me ranting, maybe a combination of all of it. So to have that flexibility, see what works. I mean, I think, you know, that's sort of the future. We don't want to be going doing sort of the mainstream media coverage where you have the four talking points and you sit there and beat them into people's heads and you do that for 24/7. I mean, we're going to have a lot more fun, a lot more interactive, and, you know, get the people involved. That's what this movement's always been about. It's been about the people. So we want them involved and we want them interactive.
I'm thrilled you're doing it. Everybody in the audience, download the Rumble app. You heard it here first, or maybe you heard it before and you're hearing it again. Rumble is going to be the go-to destination for free speech, for new ideas, and for content creators. Don, thrilled you're there. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. Have a good one.
You bet. I want to tell you guys about COVID Tax Relief. COVID Tax Relief is an amazing service that exists for you because of Washington, D.C.'s addiction to overspending. Again, I'm not a fan that this money exists or that's out there or that it's available, but it, as they say, it is what it is. Look, COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, church, or nonprofit and paid your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the Government CARES Act. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low commission, very reasonable, only after you receive the money. So go to COVIDTaxRelief.org. That is COVIDTaxRelief.org. COVIDTaxRelief.org. Check it out right now. COVIDTaxRelief.org. Let's get right to it. With us is Congressman Jim Jordan, who I think we can now say is officially the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Congressman, welcome. Is that correct?
Well, Not 100% officially, because there has to be a resolution that gets actually voted on, but it's been announced. So, look, we're looking forward to getting to work for the American people and doing the investigations that need to be done and passing the legislation that needs to be passed. So that's what we're going to be focused on.
Well, I'm thrilled. So, Congressman, walk us through this weaponization of government committee that is kind of paralleled and mirrored off of the church committee. This is an unprecedented development in the last couple decades to actually be able to have oversight of the fourth branch of government. It seems as if it's going to be well-staffed at the same levels of the January 6th committee.
Yep.
Walk us through this.
Well, if I could first maybe just step back and say the reason it's needed is, never forget what we've seen here in the last couple years. We've seen the Department of Justice target parents, treat them as terrorists for simply going to a school board meeting, speaking up for their son or their daughter. We've seen the FBI spend $3.4 million pay Twitter $3.4 million to censor American citizens. And then, of course, we had the Department of Homeland Security set up the Disinformation Governance Board to try to set it up until we found out about it. We all raised it like, this is crazy, as if some agency can determine what should be said, what shouldn't be said, what's allowed to be talked about, what's not allowed to be talked about. This is what we're focused on, this pervasive kind of weaponizing government against your political opponents. It goes all the way to the president, who stood in front of Independence Hall, said what he did, called half the country fascist. And of course, it's driven by now the dozens and dozens of FBI agents who have come to us as whistleblowers and told us about what's going on in the FBI that is political in nature. So that's why we have it. It's going to be 9-6, 9 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and we're going to get to work on hopefully exposing everything. So, because the first step you have to do to stop it is get all the facts on the table so that we can protect Americans' First Amendment liberties.
So a couple thoughts on this. The first, what are you going to do, or how are you prepared? to be able to navigate the labyrinth that these intel agencies are going to have waiting for you, the trap doors, the classified documents, the stuff. So you have a great staff. I know that. You, phenomenal reputation, but walk us through that.
And they're going to, I mean, we know that the Justice Department, we know that, I mean, we've been trying to get information for 2 years as in the minority. Now, when you get in the majority, you have the ability to subpoena, but we still know they're going to drag their feet. It's going to be tough. That's just the nature of government today. Unfortunately, it's tough to get information from the executive branch. But again, remember, we have these whistleblowers. We're going to work on seeing if they're willing to testify. We think many of them are, because frankly, we believe many of them have been retaliated against for coming forward and telling us what's going on. So we think they're going to be willing to testify, willing to be deposed. So we'll start there. And then also, remember, we can get information from folks who've left the government, who work there. There's a great piece out today from this Nicole Parker. She's on the Fox News, and she talks about why I left the FBI. And she left the FBI because of the very things that we've been talking about. So there's someone that I think potentially we can talk to, not to mention the people who were targeted themselves, like parents, the 25 parents we know about who the FBI targeted because a whistleblower came and told us these individuals were the ones who had the threat tag designation put on their name. The FBI showed up at their door and investigated them. So that's where we start with this investigation, I believe.
I'm thrilled to hear that. So, Congressman, a fear I have, and we had Thomas Mastie on the other day, and I was really excited about him being part of this. I think he's such an ethical and he's a principled person who really cares about civil liberties deeply. So one of my fears, though, because he mentioned something, I thought about it overnight, is he mentioned that, and you said this too, Democrats might be on this committee. Congressman, what Democrats are going to be on this committee that aren't going to work against your aims and your goals that might actually double cross you with the intel agencies? They might be leaking. They might be secretly telling Christopher Wray kind of what you guys are going after. What assurances can you give us that these Democrats won't work as sabotage agents?
No, I think they are going to oppose us because they said it even before the resolution passed creating the committee. So Jerry Nadler was quoted in the press as saying, this is all political. We're going to fight this tooth and nail. It's not political. And Democrats, frankly, used to care about the First Amendment, and they used to want to defend it. So that's unfortunate that that's the position they've taken right from the get-go, frankly, before this committee was even formed. But it is what it is. We're going to do our work regardless. I hope they will have second thoughts. I hope they will say, you know what? We think the First Amendment is so darn important. And understand, Charlie, and you know this because you've talked about it. Every right we enjoy as Americans under the First Amendment has been assaulted in the last 2 years.
That's exactly right.
Your right to practice your faith, your right to petition the government, right to assemble, right, freedom of press, freedom of speech. Everyone has been attacked. Ultimately, that's what this committee is about. It's about protecting Americans' First Amendment liberties, protecting Americans' rights, protecting due process, and not having the double standard that we see, frankly, playing out in front of us as we're talking with this, with these classified documents and how President Trump was treated versus how Secretary Clinton was treated and how Joe Biden's been treated.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that. Another fear that I have and a concern, and Congressman, you can, you know, push back as aggressively as you want, is that House Republicans are going to probably emphasize the Biden crime family too much when you and I both know that, unfortunately, the power is really deeper. It is a shadow government. So how are you going to strike that balance? Because my fear is that it becomes too much about Biden, who, if we're honest with ourselves, 25 years from now, I don't mean to be morbid, I don't know if Joe Biden's still going to be a player in American politics, but the shadow government probably will. So how are you guys going to balance that?
No, good point. Mr. Comer, Jamie Comer, who will be chair of the Oversight Committee, is going to focus in on the Biden issue and the Biden family business operation. We in the Judiciary Committee, our only touch on that will be how the Department of Justice has handled certain things relative to the Biden family. We are more focused on just this double standard, this treatment of people with a different political persuasion, the way that they're treated differently. Hey, here's another great example. So there's a statute that directly on point, 18 U.S.C. 1507, where it says if you're protesting, trying to intimidate and influence the Supreme Court justice, you're not allowed to do that. That's against the law. No one, to my knowledge, has been prosecuted after what we saw at all this conservative justices' homes this past summer after the draft opinion was leaked. But then you have
an assassination attempt.
Mark Houck.
Yep. That's right.
With an assassination attempt on Jesse Jackson. Then you have Mark Houck, who has his door kicked in, is arrested, handcuffed in front of his wife and seven kids for praying in front of an abortion clinic outside of Philadelphia. And local police said he did nothing wrong. There was no charges there. But the FBI comes in and does that, but yet hasn't prosecuted anyone, or not to mention the hundreds, over 100 churches and crisis pregnancy centers that have been attacked since the Dobbs leak. To my knowledge, yes. No one's been prosecuted there either. So this double standard, I think, is really important that we highlight. And highlighting, I think, helps us, again, get to the facts and present this this information to the American people.
No, this excites me because the machinery of the fourth branch of government, they go untouched. And you and I both know that they have an arrogance and they have a hubris. I mean, look, Christopher Wray stops a Senate hearing. He's like, sorry, I got to go take the taxpayer-funded Gulfstream up to the Adirondacks. And to be able to cross-examine them, to really get into the weeds. Now, Congressman, I think that there will be an interesting thing that you guys might discover, which is I believe that the regime of the intel agencies and these domestic government groups, I think they've been going after people on the progressive left as well. I think you might uncover that it's not just conservatives and moms and, you know, conservative moms and homeschool groups and Christians. I think what we call the radical left, the Bernie Sanders types, the Pramila Jayapals, I think you might uncover some evidence that the AOC types might have also had some of their domestic political aims and ambitions interfered with. And in fact, I encourage you guys to try to uncover that, because that actually might be able to create a consensus and a coalition to fix this.
I agree 100%. And frankly, it used to be the left cared about the First Amendment. I hope they will join us. And remember, when this was done in the 70s, this kind of investigative work, it was largely because the government was targeting more people on the left of our political spectrum. So I agree with you 100%. The fundamental thing here is so many of these people who are doing this never put their name on the ballot. Many of them never even had sent a confirmation. So that's not how our country is supposed to. It's supposed to be the people whose names are on the ballot, who get elected to Congress, who make the laws. That, because those people are directly accountable to we, the people, to the country, to the citizens, but not unelected bureaucrats who think they run the country, who treat the American citizens the way they have, and have such a disregard for the First Amendment.
So, Congressman, I know you're tight on time, and thank you for joining us. I just have kind of one final question. I ended with Thomas Massie with this, and I first want to start the question with a statement. First, we have your back because we know that they're going to try to character assassinate you and come after you, because you are now going into waters that are no-go zones, that are really kind of considered to be the third rail of a no-fly zone. You're not supposed to touch this. Just talk a little bit, if you can, about your own personal faith, your love of America, that is giving you the conviction to go into these uncharted waters, because you and I both know they're going to try to discredit you, come after your staff. They're going to try every type of clandestine effort possible. How are you anticipating that, as you know that you're going up against the Leviathan itself?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Our job is to get to the truth. It's part of our duty. God has blessed this country. It's the greatest nation ever. And my favorite scripture verse, I may have said this in a, I don't know if I said this last week on the floor or not, but my favorite scripture verse is 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul's the old guy giving advice to the young guy, and he says, fight the good fight, finish the course, keep the faith. And I like it because of the action in it. Fight, finish, keep. Not wimpy words, words of action, words that you frankly would associate with Americans. Americans are people who aren't timid. We are not timid folk. We are people of action and initiative. And our job is to make sure this country will always offer its citizens the ability to set a goal, have a dream, and go make it happen, and not have the government impact that and hurt you in that effort. That's what's at stake. That's what Congress is supposed to be doing. So we'll do it the best we can. And, you know, I've had all kinds of things said about me. I assume they'll say more bad things about me, but we'll just kind of do the work of the American people and make sure we protect the liberties we enjoy under our Constitution.
In my opinion, what you are about to embark on is the most important project of this new Congress. It is the highest stakes game. I believe the civilization is on the line. You have an ally here with all of our audience and our followers. So, Congressman, keep the faith. And when they come after you, we're going to know why, and we're going to be able to punch back twice as hard, metaphorically, of course. Congressman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Take care.
You bet. Okay, just in the last week, Kevin McCarthy became Speaker of the House. And a lot of you in the audience are very skeptical. In fact, I counted. There were 1,800 emails that said he is a traitor and he is Judas, one or the other. I think that language is uncalled for and unnecessarily heated, but I hear you as the audience. But many of you said, you know what? I don't like this, but let's give this a chance. Let's see what happens in, you know, out of the gate. Okay, so the first act of Congress is they decided to pass the rules, which includes 72 hours to read bills, win. Every single concession that was made verbally by Kevin McCarthy and the 20 holdouts ended up getting manifested into rules. 72 hours to read bills, done. Ending of the COVID emergency, done. Voting in person, done. All those things were done. Jim Jordan, head of the House Judiciary Committee, getting done and will get done. In-person committee meetings, done. Having the church committee equivalent, done in the rules package. That is done. That is happening. That is no longer abstract. That is no longer a maybe. That is happening and staffed with really good people. Anti-Chinese Communist Party committee, done. First act of Congress, which some of you say, well, this is just performative. Yes, but the defunding of the 87,000 IRS agents. Senate's not going to take it up. Biden's not going to sign it. But it did feel good. And that's not insignificant, by the way, to finally be able to say, hey, we control things. We're in charge. And so it was a little bit of kind of a signal saying, we're in charge. Our first act of Congress, 87,000 IRS agents. By the way, in the rules package, one member, no confidence on speaker in the rules. Three Freedom Caucus members on rules committee. This is all just in the last week. And again, the credit goes towards the holdouts that negotiated this sort of deal and this sort of pace. And today, Kevin McCarthy has come out and he has said that, hey, I want you, the American people, to see all of the footage from January 6th, those 14,000 hours. Let's make it public. Play cut 88.
20 of them last Congress called on Speaker Pelosi at the time to release the J6 Capitol Hill security footage of all things that happened on that day. Is that something that you'd be interested in doing? Congressman Gates said that he said that you would be willing to do that.
I think the public should see what has happened on day. I've watched what Nancy Pelosi did, where she politicized it, where for the first time in the history as a speaker, not allowing the minority to appoint to a committee, to pick and choose. We watched the politicization of this. I think the American public should actually see all what happened instead of a report that's written for a political basis. And I think the answer. We're looking through that. I want to be very thoughtful about it. But yes, I'm engaged to do that.
And I'm going to personally encourage Speaker McCarthy, publicly and privately, release the tapes. That is an easy win. By the way, other wins in the last week, Kevin McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, has stripped Ilhan Omar and Eric Swalwell off committees. They are off committees, done. And with the huge backlash from the media and Swalwell and said, sorry, you're done. By the way, Adam Schiff off Intel. And so just in the last week, we are seeing real progress. Someone right here, Charlie, I like what the House is doing. I had doubts about Kevin McCarthy, but I kept an open mind. So far, he's doing what he's promised. But doesn't all this have to get to the Senate to be enacted? The Senate will not approve any of the things the House is doing. That's not true. Yes, the 87,000 IRS agents requires the Senate. The Senate is not involved in Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, or Ilhan Omar being on Intel committees. The Senate is not involved in the declassification of 14,000 hours of January 6th footage. The Speaker of the House can do that. Not involved in the Church Committee. It's not involved in the Anti-CCP Committee. It's not involved in any of those things. And so all of these are wins that can happen siloed off within the House of Representatives. So yes, legislatively, that's going to be difficult to get into action, except on the debt ceiling and the fiscal issues and the spending limits, that now the House has serious leverage to go back to the House, go back to the Senate and say, no, we're not going to approve another debt ceiling increase. So now there's finally some negotiating power. Don't want to get your hopes up too high. There's going to have to be some give and take. But the new House rules say that you're not allowed to pass omnibus bills anymore, period. So the omnibus would never have happened. It would have had to be 12 separate votes. McCarthy said today, is the Senate even in this week? What do they even do? Oh, yeah, they haven't done anything. And that is correct. The Senate is on vacation or at home. The House, to their credit, they're moving at a big pace. So can they keep it up? I don't know. Is this all just kind of virtue signaling out of the gate to say, hey, 20, I hear you and see you? It's actually kind of irrelevant, the intention. What is relevant is what is actually happening, which is real action. On this program, we are going to encourage the good and we're going to support results. I hope they keep up this hustle and this pace. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.